2 Timothy chapter 4, we want to begin our reading at verse 1 and read through verse 4. From the reading of this text, we will locate the subject of our study this evening. 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 1 and reading in the New King James Version. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. In an earlier study of this particular text, we learned what sound doctrine was. Doctrine is simply teaching or instruction. Matter of fact, it's translated teaching in most of the versions today. Sound teaching. The word sound, remember, is the word from which we get our English word hygiene. Has to do with health. Literally, the word means to be healthy. Sound, physically well. But in our text, it's used in a metaphorical or figurative sense as reference to true teaching, pure teaching, uncorrupted teaching, teaching that is free from error. Sometimes it's translated wholesome teaching in the King James Version. That which is wholesome, that which is healthy, in regard to teaching or instruction, is that which brings about spiritual health and life to one's soul. But that which is unsound, impure, corrupted, and is filled with error, brings about spiritual sickness and death to one's soul. In our text, Timothy is told that all Christians, and he is indeed talking to Christians here, talking about Christians, will not react as they should to sound teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine or sound teaching. Verse 4, and they will turn their ears away from the truth. The implication is, at one time they would hear the truth. At one time they would listen to the truth. Christians are under consideration. But he says, Timothy, there's a time coming in which Christians will not even listen to you as a preacher. Let's consider some reactions that people have to sound teaching. Some, of course, will hear and accept and continue in sound doctrine or sound teaching. We have several examples of this throughout the New Testament, Acts 2 and verse 41. Then those who gladly received His word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, that is, in the apostles' teaching. They continued steadfastly, that is, they gave themselves up totally to it. They devoted themselves to that which the apostles taught. They continued in that. As a matter of fact, they elevated it and lifted it up as more important than anything that man could possibly have to say. As the apostles were before the Sanhedrin council, Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God you judge, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So that's what we ought to do. Not only should we hear and accept the gospel, we ought to continue in it. We ought to devote ourselves to it. And we ought to elevate it to a position to where it is more important than anything that man could say or require of us. In 2 John 1, and in verse 1 and following, the elder to the elect lady and her children whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also those who have known the truth, because of the truth which abides in us and will be in us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. Know this, I rejoice greatly that I found some of your children walking in truth as we received commandment from the Father. He rejoiced that he had found some of our children walking in truth, that is, walking in harmony with the truth, walking in harmony with the gospel. That is, they were living their life, behaving and conducting themselves in harmony with the teaching of the gospel. So they had accepted it, and they had continued in this sound doctrine or sound teaching. And this is the way it should be. All of us should accept it and continue in it. We should abide in it. As a matter of fact, John 8 in verse 31, Jesus said, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. The implication is, if you do not, you won't be referred to as a disciple of man. In 1 John 2 and in verse 24, John said, therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you. Well, what had they heard from the beginning, and what was the beginning? The beginning was when they heard and obeyed the gospel. That was their beginning. And what they had heard was the truth. They had heard sound doctrine, wholesome doctrine, that which brought spiritual well-being to their soul. And if they continue in that which they heard from the beginning, and if what they heard from the beginning abides in them, they will abide in the Son, and the Son in the Father. What does that mean? Well, they'll continue to have fellowship with Him. They'll continue to be in the relationship with Him. They'll continue to be in union with Him. That's just how important it is. Over and over again, in our study of Timothy, remember Paul had encouraged Timothy to continue in that which he had heard. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 16, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine or to the teaching. Continue in them. Why? Because if you continue or remain in the teaching which you've learned, which you've heard, which you've obeyed, then you'll not only save yourself, but those who hear you as well. And in 2 Timothy 3 and in verse 14, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, that which he was fully persuaded of. He must continue in thee. So some will hear and accept and continue in sound doctrine, and that's what we all need to do. Then there are some Christians who will hear sound doctrine, though, and just go their way and forget having heard it. Yes, Christians will hear sound doctrine. They'll hear sound, healthy, wholesome doctrine that provides spiritual well-being for their soul, but they'll just go away and forget it. James, the Lord's brother, illustrates this well in the metaphor of looking into the mirror. That is looking into God's Word. James 1 and verse 22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, know this, he's like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Yes, we look into the word. We hear the sound doctrine or the sound teaching. It paints our lives just as it truly is. But what do? We just go away and forget what we've heard. We're like that man who looks in the mirror, sees that correction needs to be made, but makes no correction. He immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Sound doctrine, sound teaching and instruction cannot help someone like that. One must give heed. One must pay attention. One must give himself up to the sound doctrine. Just to hear it is not enough. He has to make application to it in his life. Why is it that one just hears it, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of person he is? Why is it that one will hear self-healthy, wholesome doctrine and then make no correction in their life? Why is it? Well, perhaps it's because of complacency, apathy, lukewarmness, indifference perhaps. Revelation 3 and in verse 15, Jesus speaking to the church at Laodicea said, I know your works, that you're neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will spew you out of my mouth or vomit you out of my mouth. That is, they were disgusting to the Lord. They were disgusting to the Lord. Now in this text, he's not saying that he wants them to be one or the other. And don't look at the ideal of being hot here as being filled with zeal and very zealous for God, and the ideal of cold as being the direct opposite of that, because why would he want them to be the direct opposite of zealous and enthusiastic for him? Why would he be pleased with that? So then, because you're lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. They're neither one. They're not cold nor are they hot. But it's not he wants them to be cold. And he would be pleased with that. The idea is actually found in the geography of that place and the source of water from that place of Laodicea. Laodicea was in the Lycus region, in which there were two other cities located just really close together, kind of in a triangle shape. The city of Colossae, the city of Hierapolis, and the city of Laodicea were all there together. None of them more than 20 miles apart. As a matter of fact, a couple of them only about 11 or 12 miles apart. Colossae, of course, was the major city at one time. And it was crouched up against an 8,000-foot mountain. And from that mountain would flow perpetually cold, refreshing, life-giving water from that mountain. Pleasant to drink. Would refresh a person and they would be reinvigorated because of it. But Hierapolis, about 12 miles from Colossae, was located on a hill, but in that region there was nothing but warm and hot springs, like we have hot springs in the United States. That is, the water was hot, and it was filled with minerals. The region was used as a place in which people could go and bathe in those hot springs and receive healing. And they believed that there was great properties of healing in the water because it was mineral water. Well, even though that it was mineral water in those hot springs, still the water was potable, but it wasn't very pleasant to the taste because it was filled with minerals. But nonetheless, they drank it hot because that's the way they received it from the hot springs. But Laodicea, about 11 miles away, being in the same region, they also received hot water. But they didn't have any in the city. They had to build aqueducts to bring that water in from the hot springs. By the time it would flow from the hot springs into the city through the aqueduct, it would simply be lukewarm. It was potable, but not very palatable, because it was laden, just as in Hierapolis, with minerals. And because it was lukewarm and laden with minerals, it was disgusting to the taste. But nonetheless, that's what they had to drink. So I want you to think about this in the picture of what is being painted here. In that region, there was a place that had cold, refreshing, life-giving water. Pleasant to the taste. But in Laodicea, they were like the water that they had to drink. They were disgusting. They were neither hot nor cold. They didn't provide cool, refreshing, life-giving, you might say, water. Nor did they provide healing or healthy properties like the mineral water that they had. The taste of the water was simply disgusting. And that's the ideal of them being lukewarm and being vomited out of the Lord's mouth. Their actions and behavior in regard to the Lord, their indifference, their lukewarmness, their apathy, their complacency, made him sick at his stomach. The reason I bring this up is, remember, we were asking, how could one hear sound doctrine, wholesome, healthy teaching, and just go their way and forget about what they've heard? Is it because of apathy and indifference and complacency? Is it because they have a lukewarm attitude toward the Word of God? They need to correct that attitude. They need to give serious attention and consideration to sound, wholesome, helpful teaching. And then they will not be disgusting before God. But one who simply hears sound doctrine and goes away and forget what he's heard, a sound doctrine will not help him. Will not happen until they change that attitude and disposition of heart they have toward it. Then there are some Christians who will hear, and instead of correcting that which needs correcting, they'll just blame others. We have many examples of this. For example, in Genesis 3 and in verse 12, the man said, that is Adam said, the woman who you gave me, or the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree and ate. So here, whom does he blame? Well, it seems as though he's blaming the woman, but he's blaming God as well. Not only did he blame Eve for his disobedience, he blames God. If God hadn't given me this woman, I wouldn't have done this. That's the way some Christians are. They hear sound, wholesome, healthy doctrine or teaching, but they simply blame others for their disobedience. In Exodus 32 and in verse 22, remember Moses is on the mount, and of course the people influence and encourage Aaron to make them a golden calf, and that's what he does. And of course Moses comes down from the mountain. He's filled with anger, and Aaron says, do not let the anger of my Lord become hot. You know the people that they are set on evil. Aaron is simply blaming his disobedience on the people. If they hadn't forced me to do this, I wouldn't have done it. Well, he did it. He was to blame. Another example. You're familiar with this. 1 Samuel 15 and verse 3. God told Saul to go and attack Amalek and to utterly destroy all that they have and do not spare them, but kill both man and woman and infant and nursing child, oxen and sheep, camel and donkey. In verse 9, we learn that Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fatlings, the lambs, and all that was good, and were unwilling to utterly destroy them. That is, they were unwilling to do what God told them to do. But everything despised and worthless, that they utterly destroyed. Of course, we know the story. Saul thought he had fully obeyed the word of God. So Samuel went to Saul, and Saul said to him, blessed are you of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. But Samuel said, what then is this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, or Amalekites, depending on the pronunciation God you use. For the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice the Lord your God, and the rest we've utterly destroyed. He blamed the people. So some Christians hear, and instead of correcting that which needs correcting, they just blame others. But blaming others helps no one. Sometimes you hear people say, well, I can't attend with that group because they're just a bunch of hypocrites. Well, because they're a bunch of hypocrites, does that mean you have to be a hypocrite? Does that mean you have to be in disobedience to the will of God and not worship with them or anywhere at all? But that's the way some people do it. They blame others. They blame the hypocrisy of others for their own disobedience. Or they'll say, well, I can't worship with them because they're so self-righteous. They think they're better than everybody else. Well, just because they have that attitude and disposition and show themselves to be ungodly before God or in the sight of God, do you have to do the same? Let's not blame our disobedience on other people, because blaming other people has never saved ourselves, nor does it save those on whom we blame our own problems. Some people say, well, I can't worship with them because they're just not friendly people. Just not friendly. So they don't worship anywhere at all. So some Christians simply hear sound doctrine or teaching, but they blame others for their disobedience and they'll not make correction. And then there are some Christians who will hear and then simply act ugly. They'll hear sound doctrine. They'll hear that which is wholesome and healthy for their soul, but they'll act ugly when they hear it. We saw this example this morning in Diotrephes in 3 John, verse 9 and 10. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds, his actions, his behavior, which he does, prating against us with malicious words. He acts ugly, doesn't he? Prating against us, that is lying about us, telling false stories about us, and with malicious words, words that are evil, words that are wicked, words that are intended to bring about harm. defamation of character. And not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren and forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church. So here's one who hears sound doctrine. He's heard sound doctrine. He's heard sound teaching. But yet then he acts very ugly. Some people hear sound teaching and they just become angry. They become angry. That's what the Galatian brethren had done. Galatians 4 and verse 16, Paul said, "Have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" Why is it now the Galatian brethren, Paul is wondering, why is it they're hostile and angry toward me? At one time they were willing to pluck out their eyes and give them to me. That is, they were willing to do like we say sometimes, cut off our right hand to help someone or cut off our left arm to help someone. They were willing to do whatever was necessary to help and assist Paul. As a matter of fact, they treated him as an angel of the Lord or as the Lord himself. That was their attitude and disposition toward him. But now they're angry at Paul. Now they're hostile toward Paul. Now Paul is their enemy. Why? Because he told them the truth. So you see, some people hear sound teaching and they simply become angry. They become angry. We have a good illustration of this in the Old Testament, in 1 Kings 22 and verse 8 and following. In the context here, we have the king of Israel, Ahab, and the king of Judah, Jehoshaphat. They've teamed up together to take back the city of Ramoth-Gilead. The Syrians have taken it. And so they want to attack and take the city back. So they are inquiring of the prophets what they should do. So the king of Israel, that's Ahab, said to Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, "There is still one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him because he does not prophesy good concerning me, but evil." And Jehoshaphat said, "Let not the king say such a thing, or such things." The king of Israel called an officer and said, "Bring Micaiah, the son of Imlah, quickly." The king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, having put on their robes, sat each on his throne at a threshing floor at the entrance of the gate of Samaria, and all the prophets prophesied before them. The prophets are telling them whether they should attack or not. Now Zedekiah, the son of Chenaanah, or something like that, Chenaanah, had made horns of iron for himself, and he said, "Thus says the Lord, with these you shall gore the Syrians until they are destroyed." And all the prophets prophesied, so saying, "Go up to Ramoth-Gilead and prosper, for the Lord will deliver it into the king's hand." Then the messenger who had gone to call Micaiah spoke to him, saying, "Now listen, the words of the prophets with one accord encourage the king. Please let your word be like the word of one of them and speak encouragement." And Micaiah said, "As the Lord lives, whatever the Lord says to me, that I will speak." Then he came to the king, and the king said to him, this is Ahab asking, "Micaiah, shall we go to war against Ramoth-Gilead, or shall we refrain?" Micaiah answered him, "Go and prosper, for the Lord will deliver it into the hand of the king." Now that statement is dripping with sarcasm, because that's not what the Lord had revealed to him. He is simply saying what the false prophets had said. But the king recognizes and realizes that he's being sarcastic. The king recognizes and realizes that he's not telling the truth. And so the king said to him, "How many times shall I make you swear that you tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord?" Well, now he tells him the truth. Micaiah says, "I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, 'These have no master, let each return to his house in peace.'" The point is, when they go to war with Syria and try to take Ramoth-Gilead, the king of Israel, Ahab, is going to be killed in battle. They'll be like, that is, the people of Israel will be like sheep scattered on the mountain who have no shepherd, because they will have no master. And the Lord will say, "You might as well return to your house in peace." Ahab was killed in that battle. But Ahab heard the truth, but he responded in anger because he threw the prophet in prison and fed him with bread and water. And that's the way some people respond when they hear the truth, when they hear sound doctrine, when they hear sound teaching. They simply respond in anger. And some people, if they'll not show or display the anger, at least they'll show it or display it by some kind of hateful contempt or disdain in the language they use toward people. In 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 1, Paul said, "Now I, Paul, myself, am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ," know this, "who in presence am lowly among you, but being absent and bold toward you." Now we read on in the context to see why he said that. Why in presence he's lowly among them, but being absent he's bold toward them. Because some had accused Paul and used hateful and contemptuous speech toward him regarding the way that he wrote and his physical presence among them. In verse 8 and following of 2 Corinthians 10, "For even if I should boast somewhat more about our authority," Paul said, "which the Lord gave us for edification and not for destruction, I shall not be ashamed, lest I seem," note this, "to terrify you by letters. For his letters, they say, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible." So some hear sound teaching. They receive sound instruction, but they show their hateful contempt and disdain for those who present it, like those who made such statements against the Apostle Paul. Jesus had told his people that they would be hated by all, that is, even some who were among his disciples, some who were among his people. Matthew 10 and verse 22, "And you will be hated by all for my name's sake." Yes, Christians sometimes are hated by those of the world and hated by Christians too. And we see that in Christians getting angry, Christians saying hateful and contemptuous things about other Christians who simply present sound teaching, sound doctrine. Well, some Christians will hear sound doctrine or sound teaching and follow it for a time, and then they will simply give up. Matthew 13 and verse 22 is an example of this. "Now, he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful." So he hears, but after a period of time, he simply becomes unfruitful, he falls away. Acts 13, in verse 13, "Now when Paul and his party set sail from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John," that is John Mark, "departed from them," returned to Jerusalem. John Mark, with Paul and Barnabas, hearing sound doctrine, sound teaching, sound instruction, but yet, why was it that John Mark departed from them, returned to Jerusalem? Remember, Paul and Barnabas had a great dissension about that later on. But nonetheless, we don't know why he departed, but he departed. Another example, 2 Timothy 4 and verse 10, "For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world." Evidently, Demas was faithful for a period of time, but now has simply fallen away. Acts 20 and verse 28, "To the Ephesian elders, Paul said, therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure," note this, "savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves," that is from among the eldership, "men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves." From the eldership of the congregation in the church at Ephesus, men would arise speaking perverse things. Men who had heard sound teaching. Remember, Paul worked with the church in Ephesus perhaps a total of more than 3 years. How long had Timothy worked with the church by the time Timothy left it? They had heard sound teaching. They had received sound instruction. But yet, some in the eldership were going to teach perverse things, corrupted things. They were going to teach that which was false. In 1 Corinthians 1 and in verse 10 to the Corinthians, Paul said, I plead with you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same man and in the same judgment. For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. Now some of you say that, now I say this, that each of you says, I am of Paul, or I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ. Since Christ of added, was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? There was division in the church at Corinth. They had heard sound teaching. Paul established the church in Corinth. They had heard sound teaching, sound instruction, but yet they had fallen away. They were divided. Not only that, they were filled with carnality. 1 Corinthians 3 and in verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food. For until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you're still not able. For you are still carnal. For where there are envy and strife and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? They're not the spiritual kind of people that they need to be. Yes, some Christians will hear sound teaching, sound instruction. They'll follow it for a time, but then they'll simply fall away. But a disciple of Christ who is like that, Jesus says, is unfit for the kingdom of heaven. No one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Once you undertake the task of living a Christian life, there's no reason to look back. Don't look back on your old life, because if you do, you might be inclined to go back to your old life. Those who would follow Jesus must commit themselves unconditionally to Him. And in the context, even severing family relationship if necessary for the kingdom of God. So some Christians will hear sound teaching and follow it for a time, but then just simply give up on it. And then there are some Christians who will hear sound teaching and correct those things that are wrong in their life. Matthew 18 and verse 15. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. Well, you're going to present sound, healthy, wholesome instruction to him. You've gained your brother. The implication is that he'll correct himself. But if he will not hear, then take with you two or more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, the implication is he may hear the church. He may receive the sound instruction, a sound teaching, make correction to his life. So some Christians will hear sound teaching and then correct that which is wrong. There's always the possibility of that. Galatians 6 and verse 1. If a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spiritual gentleness. If one can be restored, that means they will hear sound teaching or instruction and then make correction. In our reading in Galatians 2 and in verse 11 and following, regarding Paul withstanding Peter, he corrected him. And what did Peter do? Well, Peter must have, based upon the instruction and the teaching that Paul presented, must have corrected himself. If not, then God continued to allow Peter to be recognized as an apostle and also allowed him to pen two inspired epistles and put his name to them. So he must have corrected himself. So some Christians will hear sound teaching and instruction and then make correction of that which is wrong in their life. And this is what all of us must do, because at one time or another, all of us are going to hear sound teaching or instruction for which correction needs to be made in our life. 1 John 1 and in verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. What does that mean, the truth is not in us? If we say that we have no sin, well, God says we have sinned. Romans 3 and verse 23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Fall short of the glory of God is in the present tense. Fall short and continue to fall short. We've all sinned and we all continue to fall short of the glory of God. Thus, that's the truth. So if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and that truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar because He says we have sinned and we continue to sin. So this is what all of us must do, as all of us are condemned by sound teaching or instruction at one time or another. We need to make correction when we hear it. And then our text, finally, tells us that some Christians will hear sound teaching and change to a teacher who will please them. That's what our text says. For the time will come when they will not endure, they'll not put up with, they'll not bear with sound teaching, sound doctrine. But according to their own desires, according to their own lust, because they have itching ears. That is, ears that need to be scratched, ears that need to be soothed. That is, they want to hear what pleases them. They want to hear that they can continue to engage in that which is sinful, because that will please them. They want to hear that they can continue in an adulterous relationship. They want to hear that they continue in a homosexual relationship. They want to hear that they can continue to be a drunk or continue to be a thief. They want to hear that they continue in sin, and whatever sin they are in, those will be soothing words for them. It will be according to their desires. It will be according to their fleshly passions. Because of them, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth. Now, these still want to be religious people, but they don't want to hear book, chapter, and verse. They don't want to hear a thus saith the Lord. So some Christians will hear sound teaching, and because they don't want to hear it anymore, they'll seek out a preacher that will tell them what they want to hear. But there's a great deal about sound teaching which does not soothe itching ears. And that's mentioned in verse 2. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort. Convince, rebuke, three quarters of the preaching of the word, we might say, is negative. Convince, that is, convict them of their error. Convict them of their sin. Rebuke them. The ideal is rebuke them sharply. Reprimand them severely. Chide them severely. Make them see their guilt. Tell them they're guilty. So, it's something that cuts. It's not something that soothes itching ears. It's something that cuts and hurts. And it's intended to cut and hurt because their conscience needs to be pricked. It simply takes sound teaching to save. James 1 and verse 21. Receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your soul. It takes sound, healthy, wholesome teaching to bring about the salvation of man through the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So what's your attitude towards sound teaching as a Christian? What's your attitude? Do you hear sound teaching and become angry? Do you act ugly when you hear sound teaching? Do you hear sound teaching and then speak contemptuously? Are words of disdain toward those who have presented the sound teaching or sound doctrine? Do you hear sound teaching and then go away and forget it and make no correction when correction is necessary or needful. I would hope as a child of God you would hear sound, healthy, wholesome, helpful teaching and instruction and make correction, because at one time or another all of us need to do that. So if you're here this evening, why not make correction if necessary? If you've never obeyed the gospel, why not do that? Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. It was true when it was penned, it's true now. Believe the gospel, respond in obedience, and you can become a child of God. Your sins will be washed away. And as a child of God, correct yourself when you hear healthy, wholesome doctrine. Repent of your sin. Confess that sin to God. Pray that He will forgive you of it. And we'll pray with you and for you as we stand and sing the song selected.